Okay, we are going to quick start off with a quick prayer. It's in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I ask that you send your spirit down upon Jesse and I. Help us to provide this talk to those who are here. We ask for a blessing upon all who came today to witness to marriage and to family life. And Lord, help our story and testimony bring about help and Lord, whatever it is your will for this talk, we just hand it over to you, and we thank you for the opportunity to share this story, and we just ask our Blessed Mother to be with us and protect us as we intercede on our behalf. We pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you guys hear okay? Excellent. all right. Well, recently, Jesse and I had the privilege to go to Philadelphia to attend the World Meeting of Families. And I know we had previously in our last two bulletin articles, we had recaps of our story and our experience in there, as well as Paul, our DRE, he shared his experience on his trip there as well. But for those of you that may not have heard it or read it, the World Meeting of Families was a conference that was set up to bring families throughout the world to kind of come together and to hear talks from various aspects about the family life, and really to kind of share a witness and a testimony to the importance of marriage and family life in a society that doesn't seem to honor it or think that it is all with like the changing of the laws and everything like that, they're not upholding what it really is. And it was really quite remarkable to see the attendance that they had at the conference, and just the sheer number of people that they had that came from all over the world. There were families that brought small children. They brought like their adolescent children. I mean, there's just so many varied ages of young married couples all the way to couples that had been married up to 50 years. And it was really beautiful to see all these people come together and to promote marriage and the family life. The conference was on 4 days, and just with our schedules and everything that we had it worked out that we were able to attend 2 of the days of the conference, and then we were able to stick around for the events on Saturday, and they had what they called like the Festival of the Family, and that is when Pope Francis arrived into Philadelphia, and he had various different places that he came and spoke at, and then he did a papal parade throughout the area that we were at. And this was truly an amazing experience. It's definitely a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us that we were able to go someplace within the U.S. to be able to see the Pope and to be able to bring that experience home and to share it with our children and our parish has really been a blessing for us. At this time, we'd like to share a quick short video that was put together, and this was taking place on the Festival of Families on Saturday. So this experience was an amazing opportunity for us to be able to set aside time to enrich our own marriage, but also to strengthen our family life as well. Before we left, we really wanted to make this trip not just about like a vacation away from the children, but to have more of like a pilgrimage mindset. And with that, we were able to take with us different prayer requests from family and our own prayer requests. And so the whole time that we were there, we were able to offer up prayers for our marriage, our children, as well as our extended family. And having this mindset was a really neat opportunity for us to grow closer to Christ, as well as together as a couple. So what we're going to do is we're just going to kind of go through our story a little bit and kind of share with you different moments throughout our journey in our relationship that kind of brought the Lord closer to us, but also through that we were able to draw closer to each other, and how the Lord showed us in different ways how to be more selfless in our marriage and to be more loving with each other and our children.
So starting off, I'm going to kind of take you back to when I actually thought that Andrew and I should have started dating. Way back in seventh grade, and Andrew will claim she doesn't remember this or whatever happened, but I actually, as a seventh grader, worked up the courage to ask out who I thought was probably the most beautiful girl in the eighth grade. And so I did it over the phone. I mean, I don't know if that's a cool thing or not. Probably not. But anyway, I got shut down by her. And at that point, I kind of thought, you know, it was over. She was going to be going off to high school at that point. And I was probably never going to be able to see or talk to her again. And then I kind of remembered we live in Fowler, so that's inevitable, really. You know, getting out of, you know, through my eighth grade year and getting ready to attend high school, I kind of was just preparing myself for freshman year and, you know, for football. You know, I didn't really think about, you know, dating anyone. I kind of, the whole thought kind of went away. But then, you know, once I entered high school, Andrea's class and mine always got along really well. Our groups of friends would hang out at different events. You know, I started seeing more and more of her. You know, I really enjoyed just hanging out with, you know, my friends, her friends all together, but I was most excited when she would be at those events. And most of the time she was, and a lot of those times were spent at Saturday volleyball tournaments. We would, you know, go and cheer them on, and then in between games, we would, you know, just go and sit with the team, you know, while they were resting. And, you know, me and Andrew happened to talk quite a bit in those times. And I started to realize something special about Andrea, and I didn't really know what it was at the time, but, you know, I knew I wanted to find out. And, you know, at that point, you know, it was after one of those volleyball tournaments that I decided to work up that courage again that I worked up 4 years earlier. And, you know, I asked her out again, and this time I was the lucky one, and she said yes. And that's kind of where our journey really started to begin. You know, our dating years had ups and downs like anyone else's would. And, you know, at one point I even broke up with her, and I'm not even sure why. I think it was something like, I thought I didn't have enough time with my friends or something. But it was probably for 2 weeks, and I kind of realized that I was just stupid. But looking back on it now, there were ups and downs, but something I really look at during our dating years at this point now is the whole time being able to see different spots where we were building each other up and, you know, preparing ourselves for something bigger. You know, we didn't notice it at the time, but, you know, God was preparing us, and he was getting us ready for our vocation the whole time. You know, as I said, how we were building each other up, I always, you know, at that time in my life, I was pretty good at making sure, you know, I was comfortable, or, you know, I was, you know, getting what I needed, and I didn't really put others before me. Something that Andrea taught me throughout all that was how to put others before you and be selfless. There's actually, you know, there's one instance I want to bring up that I always remember. And it was a night, I've never talked about this before, really. It was a night when my mom had told me that my dad had prostate cancer, and all is good with him now, so it's, this is kind of ridiculous, but at the time, I remember not knowing how to handle it, and, you know, I didn't know how serious it was, and, you know, I just knew I was scared at the time. So later on that night, I had called up Andrea, and I simply told her, asked her if I could come over and if just talk. You know, keep in mind, this was later on that night, and it was pretty late, probably a time when she was getting ready to go to bed. And, you know, she just still told me to come on over. And I hadn't told her why or anything. She could have just said, you know, can it, you know, wait till morning or wait till another time? And she didn't do that. She welcomed me there with open arms and just comforted me in that. And, you know, to me, that was a truly selfless moment that she showed me. You know, it was moments like this throughout our relationship, our dating years, that she taught me how to be more selfless. And I'm sure there's some moments that, you know, I was able to build her up throughout our dating years too. you know, I don't know any in particular right now, but maybe I did. But you know, the point is, we are helping each other become better people and bringing each other, you know, closer to God and preparing ourselves and, you know, to truly encounter Christ in our relationship.
So we had been dating about 3 years when a friend of mine asked me to attend a young adult retreat called Veritas. And this was something that definitely wasn't really on my radar or something that was in my comfort zone, but I had trust in her, and so I decided to attend this retreat, not knowing anything about the retreat, what I was getting myself into, who was going to be there, but I decided to kind of just go with it, and that weekend really changed my life. It was the starting point of my conversion, where it was really the first time that I think I encountered Christ, and he took the opportunity to really open my eyes that weekend and show me that I had never really taken time to stop and look at our relationship as is in me and God. I had never sat down and thought, what am I doing in my relationship with God? And it didn't take me very long to figure out that I wasn't doing nearly enough. All this time and effort that I had put into to our relationship with Jesse or even my friends was really outweighing the time that I would spend trying to build my relationship up with Christ. And that really kind of hit me like a lot, that I really needed to kind of just really do some self-reflecting and figure out what I can do in my life to invite Christ to come into my life, and not in just me individually, but how I can bring him into our relationship and other relationships as well. So I came off this retreat just really excited and just kind of really fired up, and just couldn't wait to share my experiences. And I really wanted to share them with Jesse, but I don't know if any of you have ever really been on a retreat, but when you go on to a retreat and you experience something, especially something that's really powerful, but you don't have, you know, someone else there with you to experience it with you, it's really hard to take that home and to try to share that experience with them, because he wasn't there. He didn't listen to the same talks that I did. He didn't get to experience Christ the way that I did. He didn't get to see God working through other people the way that I did. And, you know, I can talk and talk all I want about it to him, but he's not going to have that same excitement until he has that opportunity to have that same experience. And so I really kind of started asking myself each day, you know, is what I'm doing right now, is this drawing me closer to Christ, or is it pulling me farther away from him? And that was kind of just like my compass, kind of like my gauge for me to be able to see, like, what am I doing to help pursue my relationship with Christ? And after that, I really, really wanted to be able to share this experience with Jesse. I wanted him to attend the next retreat. But there's that fine line of just being so excited and really just wanting to bring someone to something without pushing them away or forcing them into something. Because if I force him into coming and he's not open or he's not willing to take that step, then I'm not going to do him any good, because he's going to go and he's not going to have the experience that God had intended for him. So I knew that I had to be careful with what I was doing, because going on this retreat would definitely be outside his comfort zone. He would definitely have to take time away from, like, his friends and really kind of go into new kind of charted territory, because none of his friends, I think, were really in the same place in their life as he was. And would this compromise his reputation? What would this look like? What would he be considered after this? And so I just had to take all of his feelings and considerations into account as well. So I remember not long after we had went on the retreat, I just kind of kept my eyes open for just different things that they would kind of keep that fire going. And Beth Bailey was bringing in a speaker to talk, and it was Scott Hahn. And sitting there listening to him really stirred up all of that excitement that I had at the retreat. And I remember just thinking, oh, like, you know, I wonder if he's having this kind of same experience. I wonder if he's enjoying himself. And so I just kind of quickly took time, and I just said a quick prayer up to God. And I can't remember exactly the words, but it went something like this. I just said, Lord, if Jesse is supposed to go on this next retreat and I'm supposed to be part of that, and I'm supposed to help him along the way, then let me know. And I just kind of, you know, it was just a quick breath prayer, and I didn't really think much of it. And all of a sudden, I looked over at Jesse, and he just had joy all over his face. And I remember thinking at that time, like, wanting to, like, give God a high five and said, we got him. Like, he's coming on the next retreat. Like, I know it. I can just tell. And I just kind of sat back and just was like, all right, we got this taken care of. Like, the hard work is done. And God did just that. He stirred something into Jesse's heart that when the next retreat came up, he was ready to go. And he went in with what seemed to be an openness because he had a really awesome experience. And for him, that was also the start of his personal conversion in a spot where he was able to meet new friends and people that were starting the same journey along with him. And so Veritas was very powerful for us individually, but also as us as a couple. For both of us, we were able to stay involved with Veritas, be able to help out on other retreats, and that was a good accountability for us to be able to have those opportunities to give back. And but a lot of times we were taking in just as much as the people that were going on the retreats, helping out in them. And not only that, but we were able to form different relationships with people that we met there. And it was just really wonderful to have friends that really encouraged us along our faith journey, to keep us accountable, for us to talk to if things kind of came up and we didn't know what to do about. And what was really cool, and I think something that I was almost the most happy about from this is that God just started kind of coming up in our conversations. We started talking about faith more. We started talking about religion more. The desire for the Mass and the sacraments was more prevalent. And that was really a good basis for us to kind of go back onto. And so moving forward with our conversion, like I said, we kind of kept our eyes open for different opportunities that different events that the church would put on. And between the neighboring parishes, they offered the Encounter Series. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. It was really well attended, and it went through a series of different stuff, and at the very end, it led you to be able to really encounter the Holy Spirit and to provide an opportunity to be prayed over. And I remember they were just kind of talking and kind of leading you through, like, just different stuff to think about or to meditate on or to even just ask the Lord for different stuff at that point in time. And I remember as I was sitting there, I just asked the Lord to show me his love. Now, I know it sounds silly. We all understand that, like, we're loved by God. I mean, he's our Father. He's our Creator. But I had never really truly, like, felt his love or experienced, like, what that would feel like. And it was, I guess, more of a thought to me than just a deep yearning and knowing. So I remember just kind of thinking about that and just kind of put it out there and thought, all right, well, we'll see what he does from there. And then I remember Father Dennis came behind me and he placed his hands on me and he started praying over me. And I remember just instantly feeling just complete peace and just so much warmth. And I was just so overtaken by this feeling, and I knew that the Holy Spirit was just showering me with the Lord's love. And this was truly the first time that I experienced this and really kind of encountered the Holy Spirit within this. And it was so peaceful, and I remember just sitting there thinking, oh, I could stay in this moment forever. Like, this is just what I needed. And I remember just, you know, slowly just kind of like taking it all in, and I felt myself slowly just kind of leaning over, and I rested my head on Jesse's shoulder. And so I knew at the time that God was showing me his love, but this is something that I think has been kind of revealed to me just more recently, that I think at that time, too, God was showing me also in a different way his love. He was showing me his love through Jesse, and he was showing me and providing me that he had given me someone to love and care for me, and that was in Jesse. And it just is a moment that really just kind of has stuck with me.
As Andrea was saying, during our dating years, we both had our own individual conversions, and we had them at different times. That was probably a good thing. We had them at different times because, you know, as most of you would know, since you know us, you know, we get excited about something and, you know, we want to talk about it. And most of the time we talk fast. And, you know, if that had happened at the same time for us, I'm not sure there would have been much of a conversation or there wouldn't have been much listening going on. So having them at separate times was great because, you know, I was able to listen to Andrea and hear what her experience was like and take it in, you know, with her. And, you know, that made me more, you know, at least curious to what it was she was experiencing. And so, you know, after I attended my first Veritas retreat, you know, where I had my same type of experience, kind of the Lord smacking me in the face and say, you know, showing me his loving presence. You know, after that, I just remember being in the car with Andrea, and I'm not sure, I don't know where we were going or anything, and we got on the topic of marriage somehow. And I just remember her saying, you know, I could comfortably say yes to you if you were to propose. And, I mean, it was kind of out of the blue, so imagine that being thrown at you and thinking, holy crap, like, kind of pushy. But it was kind of a, it seemed to be a pretty, like, fleeting thought. It kind of went out of my head right away because I realized that all she was doing was showing me that the confidence that she had in our relationship and the love that she actually had for me. And, you know, I realized that I was feeling that same way. I had the same confidence in our relationship, and I could see this going farther. You know, I saw that God had actually become the center of our relationship, something that, you know, we didn't really have, you know, before we had our conversions. You know, ever since Andrea and I went to go hear Scott Hahn, who she was talking about earlier, I had this strong connection as he gave his talk about the Blessed Mother, a strong connection with the Blessed Mother. And, you know, I didn't know much about her, you know, the basics. She's Jesus' mother. You know, she's never sinned, and she's basically pretty awesome. But I really wanted to know more. So shortly after the talk, I went out and bought a couple of books on Mary. I didn't really read, like, what they were going to be about. I knew they were about Mary, but, like, in depth of what they were going to be about. But come to find out, I think those books were probably written for, like, a professor at a seminary or a, you know, priest or something, but not for me. You know, needless to say, those books still sit on the shelf, and I've never opened them again. But, you know, I knew that I still wanted to know more about Mary. And so I didn't look for books anymore. I just resorted to praying, and I would pray to Mary, you know, ask her questions, like, kind of just talk to her. You know, I got comfortable talking with her. She was showing me more through those prayers than I could have found out about her in any of those books. You know, I got so comfortable talking to her. It was like I would get into the prayer and be, you know, as if I was talking to my own earthly mother, mom. But it just felt comfortable like that. And, you know, so with all this going on, the thought of Andrea's comment when we were driving in the car about how she would be comfortable saying yes if I were to propose kind of popped into my head. It was always in the back of my mind. And so I brought it to prayer with Mary, and I just simply asked her, what do I do with that comment? And I didn't hear a clear voice or anything. I mean, it would have been great to, obviously. I hear Mary's voice is pretty amazing to hear. But what I did get a sense of was that I needed to look at my life and my future from two different places. You know, one with Andrea in it, with marriage, and then one without her in it. And, you know, the one with her in it, I noticed, I could see, you know, children. I could see a loving home, you know, a loving wife. And then, you know, picturing my life without her, I literally saw, like, nothing. I didn't know what, I couldn't picture anything. It was, like, blank emptiness. And, you know, in that moment, I could tell that, you know, God was calling me to my vocation of marriage. And, you know, so that led me to really start pursuing and you know, kind of going over that comment that Andrea made about, you know, being comfortable with me proposing and saying yes. so, you know, I worked up the courage. I you know, went out and on that stressful trip and looked for rings and bought a ring. I had it for, I think, a day or two before I proposed. But on the night of the proposal, God wasn't done working, you know, on us or me. You know, there were so many different things I had in mind for that night, how I would propose. And, you know, God kind of just said, no, that's not going to happen. You know, I had my first thought was, you know, the Silver Bells in the City that goes on at the, I think at the end of November, in Lansing. You know, she loves going to that. She loves all the lights and everything. I knew she always had like this, you know, fairy tale proposal idea that would happen. And I thought, you know, I noticed they had horse-drawn carriages at Silver Bells in the City. And I thought, you know, that would be perfect. It's like, you know, it really is like a fairy tale. And, you know, so we got there and I saw the carriages, and turns out there was, you know, at least 15 to 20 other people on these things. Like, they were huge, huge carriages. And so that kind of, you know, who wants to sit there with all these people and, you know, try to propose with all, you know, strangers. So that thought was gone. My second thought was, you know, I guess this one, I think, kind of just me panic mode said, okay, let's go out to eat. And, you know, I thought maybe I would propose to her, surprisingly, at a restaurant. You know, not real romantic, I don't think, anymore, but kind of just flew into my head. Well, got to the restaurant. We have an hour-long wait. So we didn't want to wait. It was already getting late. So that one was thrown out the door. Third one, this came into my head on the way home. I thought, okay, perfect. We could stop at the church. You know, what better way to propose to Andrea, you know, than in God's house? And well, you know, we get here, walk up the steps, go to open the door. God locked the door. So the door's locked. Can't get in. So at this point, I'm completely feeling defeated and lost. Don't know what to do. And, you know, God kind of seemed to almost pull me aside and just say, just stop. Just let me show you something. And he seemed to just guide us over to the grotto out here. And, you know, as we walked up to it, I thought, yeah, okay, this is perfect. I said, I get to propose to the woman I want to spend the rest of my life with in front of the mother that I fell in love with, like, about a year earlier. I mean, that doesn't get any better than that, and it wasn't my idea at all. You know, looking at it now, it's really easy to go back through those years, you know, the dating years all the way up through the proposal, and see where God was, you know, kind of at in our lives, and, you know, how he was strengthening our relationship and preparing us for marriage. You know, I know it seems odd that, and, you know, I feel this way anyway, that we would be up here speaking about marriage, having only been married 7 years. It's, you know, obviously there's people in this room that have been married far longer than that and who are probably more capable of or more qualified to do this. But we, you know, felt the Lord calling us to share our story. So in our 7 years of marriage, God has blessed us with 4 children. We have a almost 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old who, well, most of you know of her, and, you know, you can tell, you know, if there was more people here that didn't know her, it would be because we don't like to take her to church. She's a little bit crazy. And then we have our youngest, our boy, is about to turn a year next month. So needless to say, like how I was saying, you know, way earlier when I said, you know, I was getting prepared for high school and I thought those were going to be the best years of my life, I think, you know, it's safe to say now that I'm living those years right now. You know, there's plenty of times where it is feels like it's almost impossible. You know, you want to pull your hair out, you want to punch your through a wall or something. You know, nighttime routine, putting kids to bed is, for me, one of the toughest times for me. It seems insane. I go through those times. I do it, you know, every night. I'll go through it, push through it, do the best I can. But I really sit back sometimes and just think, you know, that's not always going to be there. You know, they always. We do love our children. We're not always going to have the opportunity to have our kids, you know, going nuts like that. And they're not always going to want me in their bedroom to, you know, put them to bed. One day they're just going to say, you know, they're going to walk upstairs, go to bed, and that's going to be it. Say goodnight. And, I'm not going to get called back into the bedroom too because, you know, their blankets aren't flat enough or straight enough or something weird like that. We're not going to hear the little footsteps running around upstairs going to the bathroom, you know, during the night or wake up to their faces in the morning. So we try to take what God gives us, you know, the struggles and everything, you know, every day, and we try to be thankful for them, you know, for the good times and, you know, for the crazy times. We try to teach our children the same way. Every night when we lay down to do prayers with them, we start off by having them thank God for, you know, what they did that day or, you know, just certain things throughout the day. You know, and I really think the innocence of a child during prayer time is amazing. Our 4 and 5-year-olds, they're always, you know, praying for the homeless and the poor and the sick and suffering. Like, you know, they always make sure those are two of the things that they do say. Isabel, she's our 5-year-old, she once asked, you know, if she could give her sister's bed away to someone who really needed it. And, you know, we brought to her attention that, well, her sister was going to have to sleep on the hardwood floor then. Well, so she then asked if we could give someone else's bed away and give it to, you know, someone who was really in need of it. And we said, well, we can't give someone else's bed away, you know, without them being okay with it, obviously. So she actually came up with an idea, and we'd done this for a little over a year now. Well, we did it last year, and we're in the process of doing it this year, but it was all thought up by her. We do we have a jar, and she calls it the homeless jar. But anytime she finds, or any of the girls now at this point, anytime they find, you know, change, loose change on the floor, or, you know, wherever, they'll pick it up, and that's where they put it. They have piggy banks, but they put it in the homeless jar. And at the end of the year, we'll go and, you know, get cash for all that change, and we go to the store and we, you know, let the kids pick out different things like hats and gloves and, you know, all that type of stuff that, you know, people are going to need during that time of year when it's cold. And, you know, to think that a 5-year-old thought that up and, you know, really can see the importance of being selfless is just amazing to me. You know, I think it's good to teach them that at such a young age because being selfless can take a person a long way in life. You know, most or all vocations have to have selflessness involved. You know, in this case, marriage takes an extraordinary amount of selflessness. You know, I can see it every day in Andrea and the way she handles the day-to-day routine of being a stay-at-home mom because I've had, you know, I had the opportunity for a couple of days, just a couple of days to be a stay-at-home dad, and it's probably for 2 days was like the hardest job I've ever had. So I can imagine, you know, her doing it every day. Just the act of selflessness that she's putting through every day is an extraordinary thing. And she's able to do this with such grace and compassion, you know, even when things aren't going smooth and when, you know, she probably wants to just, you know, give up at times, but she pushes on. And that's, you know, that's being a stay-at-home mom, and that's just with the children. But the work doesn't stop there in marriage. You know, it doesn't stop at the children. You know, there's always work to be done in a marriage. You know, whether it's tending to the kids and making sure their needs are fulfilled or spending time with your spouse and building your relationship and you know, working on that. I think that being selfless is something that is a struggle in most marriages. I know in ours it is. It can be very difficult at times. You know, there's times when I get home from work and, you know, the first thing I see when I come through the door is, you know, kids are running up to me. They're grabbing onto my legs and asking me to look at this or to do that. And, you know, I'm thinking in my head, I want to relax a little bit after getting home from a hard day's work. And, you know, I never really, until more recently, I never really thought about how that affects Andrea. You know, me not just coming home and taking that love from the kids and you know, spending that little bit of time with them, you know, doing what they want to do, taking the pressure off of Andrea. You know, she's there with them all day long. You know, she's probably trying to get things done. There's kids pulling her every which way. And, you know, when I get home, she probably wants to have 5-10 minutes even just to sit and relax without the kids. And that's a area that I need to work on, being selfless, because, you know, I don't know how her day went exactly. You know, I can talk to her about it, but how she was feeling throughout all of it, it's hard to understand if I don't, you know, give her the time to just relax. I just skipped really far down. Oh, and I think part of that with you know, me coming home from work and needing to be selfless, is going to show our kids how to do the same thing. You know, showing your kids how to be selfless and for them to see me, you know, love Andrea is so important. They say the house is the first school of love for children, and that's something we both try to intentionally do every day.
So some things that I, kind of building off of what Jesse was saying about how to be selfless in a marriage and that kind of stuff, all of this is stuff that, I knew, but I think now after attending the World Meeting of Families, I've been aware of this a lot more, and God kind of pointed out to me, some different stuff within our marriage, but more realistically, stuff that like I was doing wrong, that I didn't really realize before. You know, there are a lot of times where there's different like conflicts and stuff like that in a marriage, and I realized that I had a really unrealistic view of Jesse that I had built up, specifically in his role as a husband. Now, outside of my father, Jesse was really like the first man that ever generally loved me for me, and someone that really pursued me. And that was just something that was very different for me. And so I think when I experienced that type of love, I really grasped onto it. And I felt completely safe with Jesse, and especially within our marriage. I definitely like gave over myself completely to him, and I entrusted him with my heart. And I had this like this warped mindset that if I was going to give myself completely to him, that meant that he would never hurt me, because, you know, God had blessed our marriage. So not only was Jesse not going to do that, but God would make sure and kind of like protect me. You know, he would make sure that I would just have this, you know, this happy marriage, that we would never have like those bumps and turns along the road. But that isn't reality. The reality is marriage is hard. There's always going to be ups. There's always going to be downs. There's always going to be conflicts. And really, those usually closest to us are the ones that hurt us the most, because it means so much. It's something that means something very differently when it comes from a close friend or a family or your spouse versus a stranger coming in and hurting you. So with that, you know, I remember more specifically just like looking at different arguments or different conflicts that we had in the past. And one kind of just really kind of sticks in my mind, because I just remember that when we had an argument or whatever, I remember just when I left the room just feeling very isolated. I remember feeling just really kind of just like by myself, and just I was just kind of sat there and thought, you know, I thought this would never happen. I didn't think that I would actually ever really feel this much hurt from someone that loved me. And I think it says a lot about someone how they handle conflict resolution within the marriage. And I think it shows on how you can handle yourself with compassion and love, kind of shows where your relationship is at. And I remember just at the time just feeling... you know, this was just, it was just really sad, and I remember just feeling very alone, but I also remember thinking, that some of the stuff that I was thinking and just thinking like, oh, you know, he broke trust or he did this or, you know, I was thinking of all these things that I was putting complete blame on Jesse in this particular instance. And I remember just thinking, you know, God, why would you allow this to happen? Like, isn't marriage supposed to be, you know, a safe place? You know, why is this happening? But then I also remember that the devil attacks the family all the time, because the family, especially a husband and wife, is the only opportunity where you can bring another soul into the world, and that soul can be given to God. And so that's something that he fears, because that's another person that he has to go up against. And so in any type of argument or disagreement, the devil is usually always present, and he's always trying to separate the bond between a husband and a wife. And so I remember just, now I look back at that time, and I remember just thinking, I was very clouded with just hurt at that time, and I just thought, man, am I going to be able to, you know, to forgive this instance? You know, how am I going to do this? And I remember just feeling just, you know, like I said, isolated at that time. And I remember just like turning to the Lord at that time and just saying like, you know, please be with me at this time. But now looking back, one of the things that the Lord really was showing me actually at that time, it wasn't necessarily so much about me and what I was feeling. But it was more about God was really trying to awaken something within me. And he was really trying to show me that all along, and I think from the very beginning, when I was pursuing Jesse and I was pursuing his love, I was seeking a love that was perfect, that wouldn't hurt me, that would always be there. And that isn't something that any human can provide another person. I was searching for the Lord's love through someone else, and I wasn't going to him for that. And so I think looking back to like when I was asking the Holy Spirit to show me God's love, it's something that I was always striving for. I always wanted just to know that I was loved by God. And so in that time, I was looking, like I said, I was searching out different areas in my life that I was looking for God's love in Jesse. And he kind of just stopped me and said, you know what, all this time, you were so clouded with other things. I was pursuing you this whole time. I've been wanting a relationship with you. And the Lord, he's a true gentleman. He's not going to come into areas of my life that I don't invite him into. So if there's areas that I'm searching out love or something else through someone else, and I'm not giving that over to God, he's not going to come in and take over, you know. So he was just waiting and waiting and waiting for so long for me to turn the tables and to start pursuing him. And so at this time, I think that finally came to a realization for me. And it was, I realized that I really had to start reprioritizing stuff in my life. Now, I know this is exactly what I said that I was trying to do way back when I had my first conversion, but it's something that I'm continually having to work on. I need to always be reminded that I need to take the time to pursue God. And I need, and I really just relied on him to kind of just continually guide me and show me. And what he was able to show me in that time was how to love like he loved. And that meant to forgive. And that meant setting aside all those things that I thought were going to be so hard to do. But realistically, when I started like talking and I gave it over to God, I realized that it wasn't so hard to forgive Jesse. And so the very struggle that I thought was going to be so huge and so detrimental for our marriage just really only made us stronger, because it showed me my flawed sense of thinking. And not only did it bring about a new awareness for me, but it allowed me to grow stronger in my relationship with God as well, which only strengthened our relationship. And it's hard, you know, when this was all going on and that kind of stuff, I wasn't able to see all this. Like, God slowly revealed this stuff to me. And actually more so when we were preparing for this talk, I remember I was sitting in bed and thinking, like, God, you know, what are we going to have to talk about? Like, what do we have to offer? And I remember just sitting and God just started, like, just talking to me. And I just remember thinking, like, oh, like, that's kind of a good idea and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, I got to grab something to write this stuff down, because I know this isn't my thinking. I know these are not my thoughts. And God was really just revealing those aspects that I was just talking to you about, to me at that time, and I had completely forgotten to tell Jesse that we were going to do this talk. So like I run downstairs, and I'm like, oh, Jesse, by the way, like, you know, we've been asked to give a talk and we have like a week to do this. I said, but it's okay. Like God just gave me a couple of things that we can go off of. And I'm like, here, take a look at this. Let me know what you think in the morning. Yeah, he forgives me. So in moments like that, it was just really cool to see how the Lord had built us up to be able to say yes to stuff like this on short notice like that, but also that we're open enough to be able to see how he's worked in us. And this is just really an opportunity for us to give testimony and to thank God for what he's done in our lives and stuff. And as a couple, we've been able to obviously grow stronger through all of our ups and downs. And I think it was just really fitting that we were able to attend the World Meeting of Families this September. And it really just kind of came at it to us at a really perfect time. The conference is just what we needed. It was a nice recharge for us and for our family. And throughout the different talks there, you know, we got to kind of pick different breakout sessions that we wanted to go to so we could kind of cater to what our needs were, or what we were kind of trying to look for in it. And so we were able to go to different talks that just talked about, you know, raising children and home life and family life and stuff. And through a lot of those talks, it kind of helped, it helped gauge us that, you know, we were doing some things that were really good, but it also challenged us to do more, to take what we were doing and take it a step further. But not only do that, but to be more intentional about what we are doing. It's just one thing to say, oh, we're going to pray for our children, but to actually be intentional and to stop and think about them and, you know, and say those prayers for them every single day is totally different. And they're two different scenarios. And so even though what we were doing, you know, seemed to be passing, we knew that we had a lot more work to do, and it really challenged us to take on more, you know, for the sake of our family and children. So something that we have started doing just more recently, it's been a couple years now, is so each one of our children, we picked a saint name for their middle name, and we did so intentionally that it would be kind of like their patron saint, someone that they could always turn to, they could always pray to, and have kind of like a special connection with and stuff. And so just at a young age when we started, you know, praying with the children, we would always incorporate, you know, St. Maria Goretti, pray for us. St. Rose of Lima, pray for us. St. Therese, pray for us. St. James, pray for us. And each children every night would pray to their saint and ask for their intercession. And I follow a blog online, and it talks about this this Catholic mom that stays home, and she tries to incorporate different liturgical things all throughout the year into her home life. And so I kind of stole the idea from her, is, you know, the children already had their patron saint, but why not celebrate their feast day? Why not, you know, give them something to really just kind of take ownership of and to get excited about, and a great way to incorporate them and introduce them to saints. So we just start simply by, on the day, like their saint's feast day, they get to pick whatever meal they want. They can pick a fancy dessert, whatever they want to do. And it ends up being like chicken nuggets and stuff. It's like, okay, whatever. But it's just something that that child wants, and it makes them feel special. And they look so forward to those feast days. And it's something very simple, but something that we want to be more intentional about now moving forward is they all have like little prayer cards of their saint. So to maybe it's bringing a picture of that saint, or letting them sit at the head of the table, you know, really bringing a visual to the saint in there, incorporating a special prayer. Maybe when they get older, we can do a novena leading up to their saint's feast day. Stuff that we can actually really try to get the kids really more involved with, that kind of stuff. And not only that, but the conference challenged us to, well, we don't have to stop just with our children's feast day. Let's incorporate, you know, different saints. There's saints all the time that are, you know, that we can introduce them to. And so they have those little, like, saint calendars that you'll get through, like, the church. And the girls thought that those were really nice because they would be able to see, you know, different, you know, saints' feast day and stuff like that. And they would ask, you know, whose feast day is it today? And so it usually led me to get online and Google and try to figure out, or look up Laudate and figure out, you know, give them a little story of background history about the saints. But to see them generally interested in the saints has been really cool. And to see, like, which ones really stick with them, or which ones they, you know, favor, is just, you know, it's always changing. Other things that we kind of took back from that we would like to incorporate more in our family time is more prayer time, and whether that be concrete prayers like trying to do the rosary now. Trying to get all four kids to sit down and do a full rosary just doesn't usually happen. But maybe we could break it down into a decade a day or something. Just different ways to kind of to build up habits for them now so that they can see that and do it when they get older. But we want to be really more intentional also about us praying as a couple and allowing the kids to see us pray and to see us have a priority to it. For them to know that in the morning, when Jesse wakes up, that he gets up early before work to have that time, that's daddy's time to pray. Or if I need to sneak away throughout the day and say, I need to stop, I need to pray, like you need to give mommy a quick 5 minutes to talk to Jesus. You know, for them to be able to see that and to honor that and to know that, like, that's important. And I know for me it's really hard throughout the day. You know, it seems like such a simple thing, like, girls, give me 5 minutes, but, like, it doesn't happen every day. And it's something I need to be a lot more intentional about. But something that I have been able to do is, so we started incorporating morning prayer with the girls. So every day when we're on the way to school, we say morning prayer. And what's really neat now is the girls actually take turns and they lead the prayers in the morning. So they're the ones that are going through their prayers, asking God to bless their day, asking the Lord to help them to do his will. I mean, simple prayers like that are just, it's so beautiful. And just today, Isabel came up with a new one. She goes, oh, Mommy, I got a good one. She goes, and it's new. We've never prayed for this before. And she, you know, to see them get so excited about a simple 5-minute prayer, maybe some days 2 minutes on the way to school, is just awesome. And, you know, Sophia tries to lead. Oh, she tries her best, but we've left it that she leads the Hail Mary at the end, and we always close with a prayer to Mama Mary. And it's just, you know, it's just cool. We'll be walking by someplace, and they'll stop like, hey, Mom, look, there's Mama Mary. And to see, like, a little child just refer to them as their, like, their mama is just, like, beautiful. And I catch myself all the time calling her that. So I just walk by, I'm like, oh, hey, Mama, or something like that. And it's just, you know, just through the kids, it's given me a wonderful reminder of that beautiful love that we have, and to be able to share that with them has been really great.
So Andrea has that morning prayer with the girls, and like I said earlier, you know, I have this bedtime routine with them, and I, you know, prayer is part of that. And you know, it's at that time when they're getting tired and they're kind of testy and they don't want to listen very well. It's really hard sometimes to get through prayer and to have them actually pay attention or to say the prayers that are on their hearts. At the conference, they were speaking about joy and how, joy and how joy is different from happiness. You know, to be joyful in our prayers and to show our children that, you know, it's important to be joyful in them is, you know, very important for them to see. And so at night, when I'm doing the prayers with them, as tough as it may be, and as much as they may not be listening or paying attention, just trying to stay joyful, you know, is something that I think, you know, eventually they'll realize, okay, you know, this is an important time, and this is something to be happy about and to really take in. You know, as they get older, hopefully that'll stick with them. Something else we took away from the conference was when we heard Chris Stefanik talk, he showed us a video during his talk about a friend of his who was battling stage 3 cancer, and you know they didn't give her much time left on in this world, and you know the video showed us you know how to have a truly truly selfless kind of love. You know, the treatment that this woman was going through was you know, putting her through struggles and making her sick and making her in pain. And, you know, she had been asked several times if she wanted them to stop the treatment. And, you know, she said, you know, no, you know, knowing that it would shorten her time that she had here, she said it was an easy decision to say no. You know, she knew that, you know, every day that she has extra on this earth is another day with her children. She has 3 children and a husband, and, you know, they rely on her, and she knows that. And, you know, no matter what pain she's going through, she's going to be there for them as long as she possibly can. And, you know, that kind of love right there, that's the selfless kind of love we've been talking about, and it's exactly the kind of love we try to show every day and try to have in our own family. You know, completely just sacrificing any comfort or any convenience of your own, and, you know, for the sake of your family. That's one of the reasons that I'm up here tonight anyway, because really, truly, I'm so far out of my comfort zone when it comes to speaking like this, and I am happy that it's a smaller group, because I just, you know, I get a lot of anxiety about it, and it really just bothers me that way. And just as recently as yesterday, even, I was getting attacks about this, you know, from the devil. You know, he was getting the best of me, just making me think that, you know, I was incapable or inadequate to do something like this, you know, in sharing my faith. And, you know, I nearly gave in, and, you know, I was going to go home and, you know, get home from work and just say, you know what, Andrea, let's call it off, you know, say the kids are sick or something. Let's just, you know, I was that close. I was real close. You know, I got home and I came in the door and, you know, I saw Andrea and I saw the kids, and, you know, one of our daughters was laying on the floor. She was, you know, feeling a little bit sick. One daughter was running around with no pants on, and she was, like, eating Fruit Loops up off the floor. Another daughter, the third one, came up to me with a concerned look on her face. She was, you know, concerned about her sister who was sick, and she was telling me all about it. And then, you know, I saw Andrea. She was feeding Tobias, our boy, in the high chair. And I just kind of looked around, and it's a pretty, I mean, that's a fairly basic day, I guess, for the most part. It's not anything crazy, you know, too crazy for us. But, you know, after just looking around at all of them, and you know, I just knew that's why, you know, I'm up here. You know, I do this for them, and I think Andrea would agree that anything that, you know, takes us away from them for, you know, a few hours, you know, a night, we want to make sure that it's some, you know, for the most part, it's something that's going to strengthen our relationship, or which in turn strengthens our family. So we look at the family, you know, even before doing things like this. And I just think that, oh boy. Okay. Yeah, and so, you know, like Andrea said earlier, we got asked to do this like a week before. I don't know when she got asked, but I got asked like a week before. You know, doing this, and you know, we didn't know, you know, the fruits that it could bear. We didn't know who would be here. We didn't, you know what certain people, you know, were going to need to hear or what they would get out of it. But we just knew that we were asked for a reason, and you know, we try to take these opportunities and just trust in the Lord. The opportunity got placed in front of us, and we want to, you know, trust as much as we can in the Lord, and you see the way he's working through us, as uncomfortable as, you know, a situation may be. Our trust always needs to lie in the Lord, and that is the reason that I believe we are, you know, we're up here doing this tonight.
So like I said earlier, if you have any easy questions or anything like that, or just different things that you want us to clarify, or if you have questions, since we can just show the video, if you have questions about our trip, anything, have at it.